Hey, this is Pastor Spencer with Racine Bible Church. You're listening to our sermon series on Hebrews. Hebrews takes all of the greatest truths about Jesus Christ and throws them to us as a lifeline to keep us from drifting away from Him. Thank you.
God's promised us. God's made many promises to us, one of which is a great day of celebration and feasting is coming when we'll be in His presence. And because God is all-powerful, nothing's going to stop Him from keeping His promises. God's so great and so mighty. Let's pray to Him. Lord God, Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, as we ask this, we declare now, it is impossible that Your kingdom will not come, and it is impossible that Your will shall not be done. For You have promised it, and the truth of Your word declares it. The blood of the Son of God has purchased it, and the Spirit now here seals it for all time, certainty. God, Your kingdom come, Your will be done through this word in this moment in the lives of these people. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in You, O God. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in You, O God. And here's what happens. When I'm afraid, if I don't put my trust in God, then that fear overcomes me and I'm frozen in paralysis, unable to do or unwilling to do what God's calling me to do. But if when I am afraid, I put my trust in God, then what happens is faith overcomes fear. And instead of being frozen and moving backwards, faith overcomes fear, and I'm able to step forward in obedience as faith overcomes fear. Faith overcoming fear is a huge theme in the life of Moses. And we're not only talking about Moses, because I just want to ask you, as simply as I can, is it possible that for some reason in your life this week, you need faith to overcome fear? There are 19 names in Hebrews chapter 11. And two of those names, the author of Hebrews chapter 11 slows down and really unrolls some details about their life. The first is Abraham. We did that a couple of months ago. It's been a while since we've been in Hebrews because of that Christmas break. The second name that he stops and really takes some time with is Moses. And the theme is that faith, or one of the themes, the first theme, is that faith overcomes fear. We'll see that in verses 23 and 27. As we read this passage, we'll read verse 23 down to verse 27. Find the word by, or the phrase by faith. You'll see it in 23, 24, 27, and 28. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, verses 24, 25, and 26, Lord willing, we'll cover these next week. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Then this morning, we'll pick up again, verse 27. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch him. In verse 28, the Passover is going to bring us to this very table. The body of a lamb was broken open. the blood of a lamb was spilt, so the angel of death would pass over them. At this table, the very body of Jesus Christ, the very blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, broken and poured out, so that death and hell and judgment and condemnation that was rightly coming for us instead fell on Jesus, so that we could be passed over and saved. We'll look at the middle section next week, Lord willing, but today we just want to take this theme of faith overcoming fear. And you see that for Moses in verse 23 and then down in verse 27, he has two exoduses, or perhaps the plural of exodus is exodi. I should know that as a Bible professional, but he has two of them. The first is that he's floated out of his parents' house in a basket of reeds onto the Nile because his parents were not afraid of the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh. The second exodus is that what we call the exodus, where Moses leads all of the people through the Red Sea because they were not afraid to leave. They were not afraid of the wrath of the Egyptian army and of Pharaoh. What are you afraid of? Perhaps it's not a Pharaoh, but there's some sort of fear in your life that's impinging on your faith. Something that might happen in the future, something that you know has happened in the past and has unraveling consequences, maybe something for your kids, maybe something for your grandkids, maybe something that you heard somebody said about you, maybe something about money or your job. For a lot of us, and I want to apply it this way this morning a little bit later, there's a fear of personal evangelism, sharing the name of Jesus. We're not quite bold enough to do that. But for all of us, there's a place where faith has to overcome fear. And I want to show you that from this text and also from another text from the words of Jesus this morning. But the first thing I want to say about fear and faith is that faith overcomes fear because courage is contagious. One person passes courage to another. I get this because the first people that are talked about are the parents of Moses in verse 23. And then Moses is highlighted in verse 27. It says, he left Egypt. And then it goes on to say that all the people crossed the Red Sea. It says there in verse 29, by faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. So faith is in his parents. It's in Moses, and then it's transferred to all the people of whom Moses is the leader. Faith overcomes fear, and courage is contagious. And what's fascinating about this text is that the weak, the slaves, the abused, the counted as nothing, are the ones who are strong and overcome everything. Moses' parents were slaves. The Israelite slaves were mistreated. Mistreated isn't even strong enough of a word. If you know the story, and it's the reason that Moses had to be floated out in the basket, the Hebrew slaves were so mistreated that they were not allowed to keep their own children alive. The governing authorities decided that all of the Hebrew sons had to be slaughtered. And yet Moses' mother and father, so oppressed by the governing authorities, they were not afraid, and faith overcame for them. And then Moses. In some ways, Moses is highlighted as an extraordinary spiritual leader, but in another way, Moses was a very fearful person. When God called him, he said, I can't do this. When he ran away and he was a despised shepherd, Moses and the people around him said, Moses can't do this, and the people didn't think he was that awesome of a leader, and yet it says there that he was unafraid, and by faith, he defied the king of Egypt, the most powerful ruler in the world. You see what faith does? It takes a lowly slave, and the lowly persecuted slave is exalted over the king of Egypt and all of the domain. This is shocking. But this, get this, this is shocking, but this is so common in Scripture that it should never surprise us. The Bible almost never shows us how God chooses the high and wealthy and rich and put together and does everything through them. The Bible shows us 100 different ways that the people God chooses are the least likely, the most oppressed, the enslaved, the beat down, the overlooked. And God says, those are the ones that I'm going to fill with my faith and they're going to do everything for me. This is all over the scripture. It's actually the way the New Testament begins. We sang this in our Christmas services almost every week. Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me. A poor, overlooked virgin girl, he who is mighty has done great things for me. And then she goes on to sing, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones. He has exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty-handed. This is such a common theme that Mary is just channeling Hannah from the Old Testament. Hundreds of times it shows us that the people God chooses to do extraordinary things are the ones that the world would say are the most timid, the most weak, the most overlooked, the most despised. But this is how God works. Notice also that Moses learned his courage from his parents. The Greek text is very particular that what is said about the parents in verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw the child was beautiful, or they saw the child was extraordinarily anointed. And then it says, they were not afraid of the king's edict. And then it says in verse 27, by faith Moses left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And then in verse 29, it says, by faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. By faith, the people had this courage that faith overcame their fear and they were able to cross the Red Sea. So you see the cycle. Verse 23 starts with the parents of Moses. Verse 29 concludes with all of the people that Moses was leading. Moses' parents, verse 23, had faith that overcame fear. Verse 29, all the people of Egypt had faith that overcomes fear. What comes in the middle is verse 27. Moses is the link between those two. I think this is particularly beautiful. And the way that I could most personally explain it is this. Perhaps I've been your pastor for a few years now. You've heard my teaching. Maybe we've spent some personal time together. And maybe, by God's grace, there's something good in your life that's blossoming and growing because I've been your pastor in the relationship that we've had. This is what I want to say. There is no doubt in my mind that if you met my mother, you would see why that good thing that's blossoming in your life, supposedly because I'm your pastor, is because of what I learned at my mother's knee and what I'm still learning from my mom when I communicate with her to this day. You see, the faith of the parents is passed on to their child. Then their child does something in the lives of others, but it all starts and it keeps going and it's transferred through and through and through. It's a beautiful thing. Faith overcomes fear. So that if you have fear and no faith, you're going to be frozen and not do anything. But if you have fear, but you apply faith to it, you can move forward even though it seems unlikely. Why this emphasis in Hebrews 11 about faith overcoming fear? Because those who first received this teaching were afraid. The people who first received the book of Hebrews were being arrested. Some of them had their houses vandalized. Some of them had their property confiscated. Some of them eventually were threatened with death. And so the church was afraid. If we keep coming to church, if we keep naming Jesus, we might get arrested, we might get killed. So the pastor was pleading with them to show them how not to be afraid of persecution, but how to name the name of Jesus and overcome fear with faith. Now, from the historic to the contemporary, from the way it was to the way it is, the whole point of biblical preaching, of expository preaching, is to interpret the way it was and apply it right now in this moment to the way it is, to make the Word of God present. What about us? It's not necessarily the case that we're afraid we're going to be arrested, though that is the case for many of our sisters and brothers throughout the world. Some almost unbelievable stories coming out of China right now. And that may come along to Western countries where it may be an issue that we the culture clamps down on us so hard that we can't name the name of Christ. But I'm not speaking to culture and what might happen in the future. I'm the pastor of this church talking to you. How can this apply to you, to us? Well, as a church, we have an identity and a mission. We're followers of Jesus who help others to follow Jesus. It's in the front of the bulletin every single week, making and training disciples who make and train disciples. To be a member of Racine Bible Church means that you worship Jesus and you love Jesus and you want to do what you can to help others worship and love Jesus. If you are afraid to stand for Jesus, to share Jesus, to name Jesus, to identify as a follower of Jesus, then you can't ever help others to come to know him. This is really what it comes down to. To fulfill our mission, we need faith that overcomes our fear. To talk about Jesus with those who don't know Jesus yet, we need enough faith to overcome our fear of mentioning Jesus. We need to be unafraid to invite people to follow Jesus. And I want to, faith overcoming fear can apply in dozens of ways. I just want to briefly apply it to this issue because I think it's important for us. Here's what I think. I'm not sure, but I think everybody here wants to see more people come to know Jesus. We believe in hell. We believe in heaven. And we believe that God so loved the world. And we want to see people saved. We want to see them come to know Jesus. I think we all want that. But here's what else I think. I think that a lot of us say, the church is going to do that. And we let ourselves off the hook as if I'm not the church in my house, on my street, at my school, with my friends, at work. Because it can be intimidating to personally share Jesus. And fear can keep us from that. And I also want to tell you something happy that I observed just this week. We had the Racine Bible Church board meeting. And just this week, we had board meeting and we had a report about the budget and where our money's at. We had a report from the building committee about plans for a possible expansion of our facilities. We had updates from our missionaries. Each of the pastors gave an update about what's going on in their ministry for 2019. The highlight for me of the board meeting was that four of our board members shared how this very week of the board meeting, they had opportunity to share Jesus with somebody who didn't know Jesus yet. One was Wayne. He almost doesn't count because he's a pastor. It's almost too easy for us. But the others were Ed, who's an attorney, Dave, who's retired from a couple of different careers, and Tony, who's a bricklayer. Last night, I was in the home of one of our other elders, Jeremy, who's an engineer, and on his couch, he was telling me about an opportunity he had this week to share Jesus with somebody. That's five from our board. So if we're gonna advance in outreach, I hate to break it to you, but it is not going to be because I come up with some crazy good idea and I just do it all. We're not going to have a Ferris wheel or a blimp, I don't know what. Like, that's not how it's going to happen. The way it's going to happen is if every member of the church in her or his circle just shares the name of Jesus, shares the word of God, embodies the love of God. And I'm happy to tell you that at least some portion of our current leadership team is already actively doing that. And so that just has to continue and continue and continue. As far as personal application goes, we'll end in Hebrews 11 when we come back to this table, but I want to show you this in Luke chapter 12. So turn over there to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 is a captivating passage of collisions. Because in Luke 12, these two things are going to collide when we read it. This is the passage where Jesus says, "Hey, don't be afraid. His eye is on the sparrow, and he is also watching over you." This is the passage where Jesus says that oft-quoted thing, he numbers the hairs on your head. Like, he's that close to us. But right up next to that, colliding with that, to us, it's a collision and a contradiction. To Jesus, it's exactly the point he's trying to make. Right up next to that, Jesus says, you better be afraid, because if you deny me before men, it is possible that my Father in heaven will deny that you are his, which is startling and frightening, to say the least. Luke chapter 12, verse 4, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more that they can do, but I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows. And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And when they bring you to the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious or do not be afraid about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. When Jesus says, do not fear, he has something very specific in mind. What he has in mind is right there in verse 8, acknowledging him before men. Everyone who acknowledges me before men. What Jesus has in mind is that moment when we know we have a chance to share Jesus and we're afraid to acknowledge him before men. Now, the ultimate expression of that is what was happening to the Hebrews. They were being hauled into court and being said, will you acknowledge that Jesus is your Savior? If you say yes, we're going to kill you. It may come to that. That's the ultimate application. But the application that's on the line for all of us every day is this more simple application. Will we name Jesus or not? That's what he's calling us to. He's calling us to have a faith that overcomes that fear. And there are three reasons why. I'll show them to you very briefly here in Luke chapter 12. Three reasons that faith overcomes fear and we should acknowledge Jesus before others. Reason number one is this: the worst they can do is not the worst. The worst they can do is not the worst. That's what Jesus means in verses 4 and 5 when he says, don't fear the ones who can kill the body and after that have nothing more they can do to you. But I'll warn you who to fear. Fear the one who, after he's killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I say fear him. You see, the worst they can do is not the worst. In other words, the worst thing your opponents can do is kill your body. But after that, it leaves your soul untouched. It leaves your resurrected body, which is going to rejoice forever in the presence of Jesus, unharmed, and there's nothing they can do to you. You sum this up by Jesus is basically saying, don't be afraid. All they can do is kill you. So what? This is what he's saying. But he says, if you keep silent, if you forsake the name of Jesus because the praise of man is more important to you than the reality of Jesus, if you keep silent, then this judgment is coming. Now, we have to balance the warning here of judgment with the strong scriptural teaching about the eternal security of the believer. We have to balance this unique phrase, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, with the promise that all sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus on the cross. But after we do all of that balancing with careful interpretation, Jesus still says what he says to make a very strong point. And the point is this: what is the worst that the world can do to you? For the Hebrews, the worst the world could do to them was burn them at the stake. For us, at least at this point, for us, it's that they could mock us, shame us, online bully us, reject us. And Jesus says, don't fear that, because that's not the worst thing that could happen to you. The worst thing that could happen to you is that God would deny that you are his. That's the worst thing that could happen. And so you see, Jesus is saying, it doesn't make any sense to quit fearing God in order to fear man. This happened in Acts chapter 5. When we go to court, we're supposed to say, Your Honor, and wear nice clothes and be respectful. They haul the apostles into court. And they say in Acts 5, verse 28, we command you, preach no more of this name Jesus, for we forbid you to say this name in all the precincts of Jerusalem. And the apostles say in Acts 5, verse 29, hey, whether we should obey God or you is a decision that basically isn't even ours to make. We must obey God, not you. Jesus is saying here, if you sidestep the persecution and you just shut up about Jesus, you're avoiding a little prick on your finger and you're sidestepping into an eternal buzzsaw. Why would you do that? It doesn't make any sense. Why would you let the fear of man for the flimsy, very temporary things they could do to you take away the fear of God and the joy of confessing that Jesus is Lord? The worst they can do to you is not the worst. Reason number two, this comes from verses 6 and 7. The care he gives is the best. The care he gives is the best. This is the sweet spot about the sparrows and the hairs of your head. Jesus says, don't be afraid to acknowledge me before men. And ahead of time, Jesus is kind of saying, look, church, look, individual high school student, if you acknowledge me before your peers and you come out as a committed Christian, if they mock you and make your life difficult, it's not that I've turned my back on you and I don't know that. This is Jesus saying, hey, when you stand for me, I've got your back, I've got your front, I've got your left side, I've got your right side, I've got every single hair on your body counted and covered in my protection. This is saying the suffering you undergo in speaking the truth of Jesus is not because Jesus has become disinterested in you or more interested in something else. He is close enough to you to separate one hair from another. So don't fear. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear. Hebrews 13, verse 6, he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can confidently say, I am not afraid. What can man do to me? Hebrews 13, verse 6 is quoting Deuteronomy 31 and Joshua 1 and a couple of other places to say, this is the confidence that we have. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So the next time you have opportunity to stand up for Jesus, I'm not saying you're not going to feel afraid. You'll still feel nervous. You'll still feel it in your stomach. But remember Luke 12 and just reach up and touch your hair. If you don't have any up there, touch your eyebrow. Seriously. and say, just say to yourself, this person I'm afraid of doesn't know the number of the hairs on my head. God does. This person I'm afraid of could possibly make life a little more difficult for the next couple minutes or the next couple years, but God holds me in his hand forever and forever and forever, world without end. Why on earth would I throw God under the bus so that this person could be nice to me for the next 20 minutes? It doesn't make any sense. Because the care that God gives is the best. Identify yourself as Christ's and don't be afraid to stand for him. Reason number 3, verses 11 and 12, is where he says, if you don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Reason number 3 is this: the strength he gives is the strongest. Number 1, the worst they can do is not the worst. Number 2, the care he gives is the best. Number 3, the strength he gives is the strongest. The strength he gives is the strongest. Like I said, I'm not saying that if you have faith, you will never feel afraid and all fear will evaporate. When you have an opportunity to speak for Christ, you'll still feel the butterflies in your stomach and you'll have to gulp. But if you do it anyway, what you'll find is the strength he gives is the strongest. So we're about to come back to Hebrews 11 and this table and come back to this. But the last thing I want to say about sharing Jesus is simply this. I've said everything that I've said, and I know that half of you, maybe a third of you, are like, yeah, but that's not my thing. I'm not a good speaker. I'm very timid, which, by the way, is exactly what Moses said. Those were Moses' exact words. So you're like, I give money in the offering. That's my evangelism. Because I don't know what to say, and I'm clumsy with my words, and I feel afraid. And if that's you, then I accept your excuse. If that's you, I accept your excuse if there is no Holy Spirit. But Jesus, the Nazarene, was pierced and all his blood spilled out. And then they put his body in the tomb. And then when he walked out of the tomb, he gathered his guys together and he said, I have to ascend to heaven, because when I get there, the only thing I want to do is pour out upon you the fruit of my crucifixion, burial, and resurrection, which is the Holy Spirit of God who will be in you, who will empower you to do my will. There is a Holy Spirit. And if you deny the presence of the Holy Spirit, you are denying the very veracity of Christ's resurrection and ascension. For this is the fruit of it. This is the exclamation point on it. And it's the very Holy Spirit of God who will enable you to do far more than you think you can do if you will step out in faith. If you want to do this, just as an effort to make it very practical, I give you 3 quick suggestions. If you want to put this into practice this week, 1, pray for unbelievers, and then when you meet unbelievers, offer to pray for them on the spot. I love doing this. Pray for unbelievers, and then when you meet unbelievers, offer to pray for them right on the spot. There are people in this city who haven't had somebody pray for them for years. What would it mean to them for you to pray for them in Jesus' name? They don't have to be a follower of Jesus yet, but they are in the orbit of a Jesus follower, and now they're getting somewhere. I just did this with a server at a restaurant not a week ago. I didn't share the whole spiritual plan with this server and get him saved, and now he wants to go on a mission trip. I didn't do all that, but I prayed for him. And I'm going to go back to the same restaurant. Maybe I'll get the same server. Maybe he'll remember. And, you know, it's, at least we're getting something rolling. 1, pray for unbelievers and offer to pray for them when you're with them. 2, invite somebody to church. This is not evangelism. This is like pre-evangelism, but at least it's something. Invite somebody to church. Ask them if they have a church. Ask them what they don't like about their church or what they do like about their church. I just did this a week and a half ago. I asked a lady, do you have a church? And she says, funny you should ask. I left my church about a year ago, and I've been feeling guilty that I haven't found another one yet. I said, I might have a good church to recommend you. Just invite somebody to church. That's not evangelism, but at least it's something. Pray for unbelievers and offer to pray with them. Invite somebody to church. And then third, share scripture with an unbeliever this week. Share some scripture with them. If you want to write it out in a card, also put a gift card in there to kind of sweeten the deal. But just share some scripture with them. You see what the Word of God does. Now, back to Hebrews 11. Back to Hebrews 11. Faith overcomes fear and enables us to do what Jesus is calling us to do. How do we get there? How do we get there? How did Moses have this faith? How can I have this faith? I'll show you exactly how. It's right in verse 27. Last verse we're going to look at is verse 27 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. There it is, verse 27. As seeing him who is invisible. The way to have faith that overcomes fear is to be a person who can see the invisible. That's a paradox. How do I become someone who can see the invisible? This is what Hebrews 11 is all about. Now, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction, the certainty of things not yet seen, things that are not yet visible. What Hebrews 11 is saying is it's actually taking that paradox and it's flipping it over. And it's saying, it is impossible for faith to overcome fear if all you see is the visible. It is impossible for faith to overcome fear if all you see is the visible. Every member of the church of the Hebrews who was brought before the authorities and who was told, if you confess Jesus, we're going to kill you. If all they could see was the visible, every high school student in this ministry, if all they can see is the visible of their friends around them, you will never have a faith that can overcome fear. But if by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, you become someone who can see, no way. Jesus really rose. Hell really is hot. This stuff is real. And you can see the invisible. Then faith will overcome fear. And you will become someone who looks at the visible things that man can do to you and says, I will not fear. What can man do to me? I'm not afraid of anything that I see, because I have God, of Jesus. And so we come to this table. It's so difficult sometimes to see what can't be seen. And God knows that. And so God, he comes down to, kindergarten level. And he says, church, I know it's hard. So once a month or as often as you do it, I'm going to give you a way to touch me. I'm going to give you a way to taste me. I'm going to give you a way to take me in physically. I'm not saying this is God, but I'm saying that Jesus says, when you're gathered, I am there with you. And when you take this in remembrance of me, I'm with you. By the presence of my Spirit, I'm in you. And this is God condescending to us to come right up near to us and say, when your faith falters and you feel weak, I'm going to strengthen you. But you take this in and watch how it nourishes your faith. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, how we need you, our Passover lamb. Lord Jesus, how we need you to guard the doorposts of our heart, of our fear. Lord Jesus, how we need to take you in, the bread of life, this cup to drink it and be refreshed in gospel ministry. Lord Jesus, strengthen the faith of your disciples in this moment, in this remembrance. Jesus, in your risen name we pray. Amen.
To find out more about our ministry, contact us at racinebible.org. Thank you.